And now, Spirit Broadcast brings you Daybreak with Linda Dillon.
Hi there. I'm Linda Dillon with the Council of Love. And welcome to Daybreak. I'm excited to continue our discussion about the whys and wherefores of channeling and how we're using channeling in this time of new beginnings, of transition, and of our ascension. And I've loved your feedback, so please keep those cards and letters coming in. Now, last week, we talked about the prediction factor, how channeling is not fortune-telling, and how our responsibilities and actions are pivotal. This week, I want to touch on how channeled messages and guidance can act as keys and catalysts, how this relates to timing issues in terms of how we use channeling and how we're proceeding in our own rebirth, in the collective rebirth, in this time of awakening. And this is kind of humorous because I find myself checking myself and thinking, yeah, right, I'm going to talk about the keys to ascension in 10 minutes flat. Well, I don't think so, but I'm going to give it a try. Let's go. So what do I mean when I say channeling can act as catalysts and keys to literally catapult us forward in our ascension process? There are a couple of things involved here, both in terms of our individual selves and in terms of the collective. The two areas that I'm wanting to focus on next are language and actions. Actions that we are being guided or actually being asked outright to take. Both are equally important, but let's start with action, because just yesterday, in our Saturday Heart Call, Mother Mary issued a call to action, guiding us, pleading with us to step forward in clear, focused action to create and to participate in positive change, to be the change agents, to be those angels of change that we came here to be. She emphasized that never has it been more important for us to take action, concrete action, that it's not enough anymore to simply hold the high vibe, the love energy, or to smile at someone in the grocery store. Not that that's not important, because it is, but it's simply not enough. Clearly, the mother's saying, it's time to step up. Now, she didn't specify what actions to take, but I think we have enough history to know totally what she's talking about. For me, over the years, I would say that I perceive about four different kinds of calls to action through channeling. It's not that one is more important than another. They're not. They're just different, and also usually related to the timing factor. The first type is the very clear, what I would call the external voice calling me, and it's always the same. I literally feel as if someone is calling me from the other room. Linda, Linda, Linda. And of course, I have to pay attention, because what they're telling me is to do something, and to do something right away. For example, years ago, when I was still recovering with back injuries, my God, I could barely walk, let alone drive, and I had a gear shift. I was told that I needed to get in the car, go to the airport, get on the plane, and go to Montreal to help my niece, Kara, to avert a traffic accident, a very bad, probably fatal car accident. They gave me the whole mini movie. Well, of course I had to do it. And sure enough, my niece and my sister at that time, DeBay and Cara, live in Toronto. So why was I being sent to Montreal? But unbeknownst to me, they were both in Montreal that weekend. I didn't know that factor, jumping in the car and going to the airport. Now, sometimes I get the why. Why do this? Why hurt yourself and get in a car and drive to Montreal? And sometimes I don't. But it's always dead on. And 9 times out of 10, it really ends up in a delightful outcome. This is pretty much always fun. So in that situation, I think and the trajectory was changed because I inserted myself and I got to spend fun time, which I really needed at that point, with both my sisters, Suzanne and DeBay, and my nieces, Linda and Cara. So the outcome is pretty much always positive. Though because of the immediacy of the guidance, sometimes it can be a little nerve-wracking. And while the guidance in this kind of a case always has immediate outcomes, what I've learned over the years is that the impact is in fact way bigger than the immediate event. So for example, in the case of my niece, it created a baseline understanding that we always follow guidance. That when you get that kind of immediate message, you act upon it. The second type of guidance, also related to action, is also that clear voice, but not so dramatic, not so urgent. Another example for me was years ago when I lived in Sedona. Actually, I lived in Oak Creek, the village of Oak Creek. I was driving into town, and I was what used to be the old T intersection at Sedona. And all of a sudden, Archangel Gabriel popped into the seat next to me, into the passenger seat. A little surprising, to say the least. But hey, Gabby is my go-to gal, so I'm always thrilled to literally see her. I want you to think of this for a second. Have you ever thought how an archangel fits into the bucket seat of a Taurus? It's interesting. Anyway, Gabrielle says to me, "You can read now. You can read now." And I break up. I bust up laughing. And here's the backstory. When I first started channeling my beloved Archangel Gabrielle, Susanna, Michaela, Gabrielle, she told me, guided me, not to read other people's stuff, not to read books or channelings or metaphysical material. Because she said that the council would teach me and guide me in what I needed to know, that they were taking me on this adventure. And of course I complied. Now you gotta understand, it's 10 years later. 10 years have gone by. And no, I never did read other people's stuff. Now, if that's not timing and guidance thing, I don't know what is. Because here we are. And I'm Wednesday morning. I think I was going to Tai Chi class, and Gabby's showing up in my car saying, "It's all right now to read other people's stuff." So what did that mean 10 years down the road? Now how I took that little snippet of guidance, how I interpreted that, was that somehow I had reached a benchmark, some kind of marker in what I think of as my apprenticeship. that the council says, okay, now you won't be unduly influenced by reading other people's materials. The funny part of that is that I never have taken to reading or trying to work that translation factor of other people's channelings or guidance. I'm really clear that that's not my job. It's not what I'm choosing to do. So when someone asks me why the council guides X and why somebody else says Y, I just shake my head and advise the questioner to go into discernment and to use the litmus test that always works. Does it feel like love? The third type of guidance for action is what I call next steps, future direction, shorter term channeled guidance. And that's a lot of what you get in an individual session or a class or even in the video or podcasts like the solstice or equinox broadcasts. This type of guidance is where we're receiving both general and specific guidance on which way to go. And it can pretty much be just about anything. It falls into what I call the standard questions, either about sacred purpose, the why am I here questions, relationships, including love partnerships and family, money, finances, health, and yes, what are my next steps? Now, this is really where the personal actions and responsibilities come into play. This is where the nature of our sacred partnership with our guides, with the Council of Love, really comes into play. Because when we ask in a deep, heartfelt way for guidance and truly listen, heart listen and integrate to the where and hows our guides are pointing to, my gosh, my friends, that's pure gold. And I've noticed a huge, significant shift in this type of union, this type of guidance of late. Let me explain. It used to confuse me and, yep, even distress me when I would have a session with someone and their guides would suggest the best course of action would be to do X or Y or Z and head in this or that direction. And then 2 or 6 months later, I would be having another session with the same person because they were distressed or distraught or disappointed that something didn't happen. And yeah, it was usually that something didn't happen rather than did happen. And I would ask, or I would simply listen and hear almost exactly the same guidance as 6 months ago or 2 months ago or last year. And I would ask or I would wonder, well, did you do it? Did you follow that guidance? Did you do absolutely everything you could? And you and I both realize that the answer was no. Or I did it for a week or a month, and then I forgot, or something happened, or nothing happened, so I gave up. Channeling doesn't work that way. You follow the guidance, yes, adjusting as you go, but you follow it until you break through. In so many ways, it's kind of like going to the gym. You keep going. You're building your matrix. You're opening new neural pathways. You're building your frequencies so that you can bring forth what you want, what your heart desires. You don't quit. Now, the good news is that I'm rarely seeing that kind of situation anymore. And I don't think it's simply who I'm channeling for. I think that the tide has really turned. In the past month, especially in this incredible 2020 energy, people have and are shifting. They're ready. They're committed and taking action, both in terms of, yes, the inner work, but also the outer work in the tangible physical reality, holding the vision for themselves and for Nova Earth, and holding themselves accountable. This is really, really good news. So now finally, let's talk about what I call or experience as the fourth kind of channeling calls to action. And that's pretty much the big picture stuff. For me, this is the most exciting area of channeling. It's where the biggest impact is felt, seen, and experienced. And yes, usually, not always, but usually, the timelines are longer. Darn it all, anyway. But of course, when I'm saying that the timelines are longer, I mean in our linear sense of time, not in the mother sense, the universal sense of her infinite ocean of time. I want to give you a couple of huge examples to chew on as we finish up today. When I first started channeling the Council of Love, they talked to me right out of the chute about massive geophysical cleansing of the planet, a snap pole shift that would have such dramatic impact that only 30% of the planet's population would survive. Not a great intro to channeling. And on the one hand, feeling the intensity of all the love and all the connection. And on the other hand, oh yeah, there's going to be massive devastation. Truthfully, for the first 6 months when I started channeling, I did nothing but cry and feel overwhelmed. But as I started to emerge from that, and my healing from the car accidents began to really heal deeply, so I became probably more chipper, I started asking, and often in concert with a few really trusted friends, especially June and Sean, we started asking, well, what can we do? How can we temper or even eliminate that devastation? Now, I know we weren't alone in this. All over the planet, the real first wavers were awakening. We were all getting similar messages and getting down to work. There was a massive awakening. And sometimes we tend to forget that. We don't look enough in that rear view mirror to really see how much has been accomplished. That all of a sudden, pretty much after that first harmonic conversion, talking to angels and sending healing to Mother Gaia became commonplace. And it worked. The guidance that many received spurred us all into action. And while the poles are gradually shifting position, and people are aware and truly tending to Gaia, we're doing it. It may not be as fast or as full as we've been hoping, but we're doing it. Don't underestimate the power of what you're doing. Another example is in the late 80s, early 90s, Mother Mary came to me one night and guided us to pray for the women and children of Iraq and Iran. This was just prior to the beginning of the very first Gulf War. And although we didn't know why we were being asked to pray for the women and children of Iraq and Iran, all of us on the original heart calls, yep, we've been doing it that long, we all went to work. Mother Mary's plea was that urgent, just as her plea yesterday, call to action, is that urgent. And that plea to pray for the women and children of Iraq and Iran has been reissued several times over the years. And most recently, just last fall. And at times, the plea has been expanded to include Afghanistan and Syria and Yemen. Now, you could say to me, well, Linda, that didn't work. But from where I'm sitting, I hate to think what would have happened if we weren't praying and sending energy and praying for peace and sending healing to Iraq and Iran. All of us can think of at least a dozen examples of this collective coming together recently around Australia and Indonesia, the California fires, praying for peace. We come together to ameliorate a situation. So it could be so much worse. But yes, it can be so much better as well. And I feel, perceive, get that that's the biggest shift that's happening right now in our new time, during this time of what they call the transition, rebirth. Because now we have Mother Mary's current call to action. I'm so excited to see how this piece unfolds in the big picture, because my perception is we're moving from that prevention piece into the real co-creation piece. And that's good news. But for now, I know I've taken up enough of your precious time. And as always, I tell you how much I appreciate you for taking the time to listen. So next week, I want to tidy up and finish up this little mini-series on channeling and talk about language and how important the use of language, of patternings, of certain words is so important, so directive and indicative in channeling. How language in channeling also acts as a key and a catalyst in our ascension process. So, my friends, as I just said, thanks for listening. Until the next time, from my heart to yours, all my love. Take care. take care. Bye for now. Mm-hmm.